The parshas that we have at the moment are extremely rich, and being able to move through the psukim is sometimes a little difficult, particularly when we open our minds up a little bit and try and understand what the psukim are actually telling us. I find that very often we read the psukim, we go to Rashi, we go to the Mefarshim, and we don't see perhaps the bigger picture of what is happening. And very often I like to sort of look at the incident as it is actually happening and try and picture myself there and then and see how I can make sense of what is happening. And some of the parshas that we've had recently can be a little bit difficult and do need interpretation, and I think we do need to spend a little time looking at them in a little bit more depth. So briefly this morning, to look at parshas Vayetze, to take out a small portion, a few psukim from the parsha itself. Yaakov is running away. He's going to his mother's homeland. He's going to Laban. And there, just beforehand, he meets Rachel, and she says, "Come along, come into my home. I'm sure we'll be happy to host you." And he comes along, and he's told, Laban tells him, "We've prepared everything. The house is all ready for you." And Yaakov is working for Laban. And Laban says to him, "Ach atmi b'soviel, flesh and blood, your family, live with me, stay with me." And he says to him, "Vayome Laban leYaakov, hachi achi atav avadati chinom. Just because you are family, and it's only right and fitting that you should live with me, it's not really right, avadati chinom, that you should work for me for nothing. Hagidoli ma maskutel." So Laban says to Yaakov, "Tell me, what's the wage? What is it that you want to be paid for working for me during the time that you're staying here?" The pasuk, I think, tells us a little bit of history. Laban has two daughters, Shem Hagadoyla Leah, Veshem Hakatonorach. There's two daughters, the oldest one is Leah, and the younger one's name is Rachel. Very strange prospect now, which we're going to look at. The Einei Leah Rakois, and the eyes of Leah are weak. Different interpretations exactly what Rakois means, as we'll see. The Rachel Hayasor, however, Rachel, Yefas Toya Vifas Mara. Unlike Leah, seemingly, Rachel was beautiful. Vayav Yaakov es Rachel, and Yaakov loves Rachel, v'yoymer, and he says to Lavan, "Evodcha sheva shonim, I'll work 7 years, but Rachel bitcha hakatan. I'll work for you for 7 years, for Rachel, your younger daughter." The rest of the psukim I'm going to leave, we know the rest of the story. The question, however, is, what is it that the Torah is telling us? What is Hashem, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal to us by telling us the Einei Leah Rakois, the Rachel Ayesu Yifas Toya Vifas Mara? So we know the Rashi, and I'm going to quote for you the Gemara in Bava Basra, which speaks out a little bit more what actually transpired over here. And the Gemara tells us the Einei Leah Rakois, my Rakois. The Gemara itself asks the question, Ilei Marakois Mamish. Says the Gemara, if you're going to say that Rakois means weak, that she had sensitive eyes, there was something wrong in her appearance because of her eyes, says the Gemara, I find that difficult to understand. Says there in Parshas Noach, when the Torah is telling us about the animals that were brought into the table, the Torah tells us the type of animals, there were those which were tohor, and that there were those which were not tohor. So the Gemara picks up and says, there's something strange going on over here. Because the Torah should tell me that Abahema ha-tohora, from those animals which are tohor, and from those animals which are tome. Yet the Torah doesn't do so, and says, min abahema ha-tohora, u-min abahema asher enenu tohora. The Torah is particular not to speak begnus, degradingly, about anything. To use a language which is Torah, to use a language which is pure. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. if the Torah is so particular with animals to speak in this way, Bignus Tzadikim Diber HaKosuf, is it possible that when it comes to Tzadikim, when it comes to Imoris, when it comes to Leah, that the Torah shouldn't be so concerned and tells us, you know, we've got two daughters, we've got two sisters, one of them is beautiful and the other one, she's not so beautiful. That's what it could have said. What it says is even worse, perhaps. That's where eyes were weak, her eyes were sensitive, they were packed, they were red, they were worn. Says the Gemara, I don't understand how the Torah can speak in this way. So the Gemara offers one interpretation, B'Shem Rabbi Elazar, and then says, Rav Amar, this is part of which Rashi quotes, Rav Amar, Le'olam Rakis Mamish. It's an actual fact, says Rav. When the Torah says Rakis, it means Rakis Mamish. It actually means that she had weak eyes. The Gemara now says, but why was that so? And says, B'loi G'nai Hula. Which in actual fact, unlike we might have understood without the Gemara, without the Rashi, B'loi G'nai Hula. It's not a G'nai, it's not degrading for her. And a Sheva Hula. But rather it is something praiseworthy. Shahai Teshemaat Al Pashis Tehochim. She overheard people talking. Shahayu Oimrim, and people would say, Shnei Bonim Yesh Lo Lerivka. Shnei Bonas Yesh Lo Lelovon. People were saying, you know, they're two sons and they're two daughters. Gedoyle legodol ketana lekot. The elder one to the elder one, and the younger one to the younger one. Leah is destined for Esav, and Rachel is destined for Yaakov. Vayetzi Yosheves al prosh parshas Terachim, the Gemara. So there, Leah was sitting and inquiring around, what is this all about? And Mashal, Godol ma masov. Rashi doesn't mean Godol ma masov. What's this elder one? Tell me about him. If it's so that I'm destined to be married to him, tell me a little bit about his deeds. And the reply came back, Ish Rahu, this gentleman, Esav, is not a good man, he's a wicked man. Menachem Briyos, he's there, attacking people, stealing from people. So she asked, Cotton Mamasov, tell me about the cotton. What about his deeds? What about Yaakov? So the Gemara, quoting the Pasuk, Ish Tom Yosef Oyol. He's a Tzaddik, he's in London, he's a Talmud Chochom, he's there sitting learning in Beis Medrash. When Leah hears this, she cries to the extent that the eyelashes from her eyes fall out, and hence she has that appearance that she does, and this is what the Torah says, when it says that her eyes were rockers. Her eyes were rockers, were weak, were sensitive, were red, were packed, whatever it is, because of the action which she took, because she understood the situation that she was going to marry Esau. That's the Gemara. The question is, does that actually answer the question that we started with? We asked, why did the Torah speak so degradingly, seemingly degradingly about Leah? All the Gemara has done for me is told me why she looked that way, but doesn't say that that isn't something which we learned Lashon Hara a few moments ago, Rechilas, we shouldn't talk about people in that way. And I think the question still remains, that if the Torah, as the Gemara says, is careful about behemoths, surely should be careful about tzaddikim, about human beings. And perhaps the Torah should have expressed it in a different way and told us that that Rachel was beautiful, but Leah, she cried, she was upset because of the person to whom she was going to fall, because she was going to marry Esau. So what is the Gemara telling us, and how does that answer the question? The question is a little bit more difficult. If we look at the Pirush of the Rashbam, also the Targum intimates it as well. And the Rashbam says like this, Rakos, this word Rakos, says the Rashbam, means Na'os. Na'os. Right? The Gemara says, G'nai, that is something that was something that she looked because of what she was doing. She was looking upset, she cried, the eyelashes went, and therefore she had a terrible look about her. She wasn't Yifas Toya, Yifas Mara, like Rachel was. The Rashbam seemingly says completely the opposite. Not us. You know, one has to see the Rashbam, see the Targum, to be able to appreciate that. Goes the Rashbam on to say, the kala she'eneha na'ois, a kala whose eyes are na'ois, who's got beautiful eyes, ein kol gufo tzarech bedika. Listen to that. You don't have to check first. You don't have to see what the rest of it is all about. You don't need to know anything more. I don't know, halach in shidduchim perhaps. You see beautiful eyes, that is sufficient. The only problem is you probably shouldn't look. So how do we put together the Rashbam together with the Gemara in Bava Basra? How do we understand the seemingly degrading sides of Leah as opposed to what the Rashbam says? Now, this is a well-known sefer, the Rashi v'Chakarto, and I want to share with you what he says, because I think he shares a tremendous idea and attempts to put the two together. And he quotes a Gemara in Pesachim. For those that are familiar with the Gemara, I'm sure that you'll understand the Gemara better than I, maybe give me an explanation in the Gemara. But a very seemingly strange Gemara. The Gemara says like this in Pesachim, Samachay. Tanya, don't nebaisa. Omer lahen Rabbi Yehuda lechachomim. Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachomim, L'divreichem, according to you, without going to the, we're taking a small part of the Gemara out of context, without going into detail. L'divreichem, says Rabbi Yehuda, you Chachomim, lama poikikim es hazor. Why do you stop up, says Rashi, the drainage in the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach? You've got a situation where everybody's coming along to bring the Korban Pesach, hundreds, thousands, thousands of korbanos. You're doing the shechita. Normally, the blood would drain out of the Beis HaMikdash, but over here, he asks them, "You stop it up, and if you're going to stop up the drainage, all this blood is going to start back in the bath. It's going to rise. It's not nice." Omru lo, said the Chachamim to Rabbi Yehuda, "Shevachu livnei Aharon." It's a shevach, it's praiseworthy for the Kohanim, sheyelchu at akuvoseihem v'doch. It's praiseworthy for the Kohanim to walk in the Beis HaMikdash with blood rising up to their knees. Like I say, for those who learned the Gemara, I'm sure you've seen it in context and gone to depth and understand exactly what it means. But even without that, the words of the Gemara itself are telling us something of Chashiv. Shevachu livnei Aaron, sheyeichu ad akuvoseihem v'doch. Now the Gemara's got difficulty with this. In the Beit HaMikdash, you meant to walk barefoot, it's going to be an interruption. The Gemara answers it. The Gemara asks the question that it's going to dirty your clothes, and you've got the Kohanim should have clean clothes, and the Gemara answers that question as well. Let's leave that aside for the moment. So the Rashi of Chakarta, he quotes the Chasam Sofer, and he says, based on this Gemara, we can learn out a tremendous amount. He says, the Chasam Sofer asks a question. You know, before Sukkot, we spend a lot of money, a lot of time, looking for a beautiful Esrog. We come home, and show everybody this beautiful Esrog that we bought. Nice shape, nice color. And the first day, we take out the Esrog, and we shake the little Esrog and make our bracha. The Friedman was very happy about what we're doing. I spent so much on this mitzvah. And the fellow next door to you, he gives you a little bit of a clap and says, you know, I didn't get a chance to buy a little vanessa. Can I borrow you a little vanessa? And he says, of course you can. Submit. You give him a little vanessa. When your son says, I need to shake, you give him a little vanessa. Can you come home? And your friend wife, she wants to shake, and you give her a little vanessa. And the second day, you come back to shul, you shake a little vanessa. And the fifth day, by the time everybody's finished shaking the little asterisk, the asterisk doesn't look like the same expensive asterisk that you bought a week and a half ago. Not the same asterisk. So he asked the question, so, you know, maybe it fell in Hiddur. Maybe this beauty of the asterisk is no more beauty anymore. I don't know. Maybe halfway to Sukkot, like we go to get you our robbers, maybe we should go in and buy another new asset, have a wooden bigger asset. Yeah, I'm not touting for business over here. Says the Chasam Sofer, based on this Gemara, says, Adarab, it's on the contrary. Says, this asset which has become fafoiled, which has become spoiled, if you like, which has become either some of the skin coming off, it's become a little brown as opposed to yellow by the constant handling, he says, Shabach hu livnei aron, like the Gemara in Pesachim, that it's a wonderful thing that part and parcel of the mitzvah is that it's become spoiled during its use as a mitzvah. Just like the Koyanim would, says the Gemara, close up the calf, would close up the plug so that the blood would rise, and a Shabbat that should be so involved with a mitzvah, so too when you hold such an answer, it's a beautiful thing that has been used constantly for a mitzvah. Says the Chasam Sofer, Chodah, Kiven Shaboy Alidei Mitzvotzai, Zehu Hiduroi, Kamoisha Amru, Shabbahu Lazar Shal Aaron Shayehu, Ad Akvotayam Vedam. Loshana Chasam Sofer, as he quotes it. And it's been well known, very briefly, the story Nach and Shmuel Beis with David HaMelech, and David HaMelech dances before the Oren. The Aviyas Oren Hashem V'yatzig Oitzu B'mkoymoy, a little bit beforehand, the David B'chaker B'kol Oid Lifnei Hashem, the Oren is coming and David HaMelech is making Freilach and he's dancing in front of the Yoram. But David, the whole base, he's told, Mali, Miss Oran Hashem, Bisrua, the whole Shoifa. Michal, taking part of the Psukim, Michal, Bath Shaul, and Michal, daughter of Shaul, Nishka for Ba'ad HaChol. She's washing through the window. But Tayyas HaMelech, David, my father's, my father's, is Hashem. And she sees David HaMelech dancing and jumping about. And she doesn't think it's quite the right thing to do for the king himself to be dancing in such a way in front of the Yoram. And they bring the Yoram and they put it in place, and she now confronts him. She goes to meet him. Is this the sort of behavior that one does? Says David HaMelech to Michal, before Hashem am I doing all of this? Who has chosen me from your father, Nagid ala Am Hashem al Yisrael, that he's appointed me as a prince over Am Yisrael, the Sichakti lifnei Hashem, and therefore I'm rejoicing before Hashem. When Kaloisi oig mizoyt vayisi shafol bayeinai, the imai mot Hashem amat imot ikov beido. It says this itself is the kovot. This itself is the kovot for me to be able to make so freilich lifnei Hashem before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the greatest simcha that could possibly be. If you like, as he puts it, meluchlich b'mitzvah. When one gets dirty with the mitzvah itself, that is the kovod. Just like the Kohanim, just like the Etzrik, although there's a lot of questions on the Etzrik as he brings. And similarly, with David HaMelech, in fact, the Rambam himself, at the end of Hilchos Lulav, brings halacha and quotes this maaseh from Nach. He says, "Hasimcha sheyismacha adam ba'asiyas hamitzvah uba'ahava sakel shitziva bohem." He says, "The greatest simcha is a person to do that which the mitzvahs which Hashem wants with love." Avoyde gedoylahi, v'chol amoneh atmo misimcha zu. Anybody who doesn't do the mitzvahs with hasimcha, roi li pogo mimenu shnei matakas hashelo edavadetu as Hashem alakecha b'simcha b'tuv leivo. V'chol amekiz daitzai. Anybody who just gives covet for himself, and in the places where he should be showing covet to Hashem, he just does covet for himself, he's a sinner and he's a fool. However, somebody who humbles himself in these situations, he is the individual who is great, who is honored, who is serving Hashem with love. The same David Melech Yisrael Omar, That itself, says the Rambam, is the simcha, to be able to involve yourself with a mitzvah in this particular way. So we see from the Gemara in Bava Batra a concept of meluchlich the mitzvah, of involving oneself with a mitzvah, and that itself is the kofet. And you know, the Gemara in Kedushim speaks and brought down in Halacha. Somebody who's been appointed to a prominent position over a community, it's forbidden for him to do a mundane type of work in front of three other people. No, you're appointed a rab shtot, the rab of the city, the rabbi of the city. And the next morning you see him walking out with the garbage from right across the road to take it to the tip, which the council has kindly put out for you. Says the Gemara, maybe that's not quite the right thing to do. Somebody should help. So, Fraktuch the Kasha, what about such an individual building his own sukkah? Should he get up on a ladder with a hammer and a nail and build his own sukkah? Or should he get somebody else, a worker, a poil, who come along and build his sukkah for him? Is the taret, a posh of the taret? Of course he should do it, but how can he do it? Zasa? Is a taret for a mitzvah, it's different. Meluchlich the mitzvah, if you're going to involve yourself with the mitzvah, it's mut. The Gemara in Elsman and Kedushin also speaks, as you well know, regarding preparations for Shabbos. Who makes the preparations for Shabbos? You get the Meshavas. If my wife's not listening, you get your wife to prepare for Shabbos. The Gemara brings down individuals of Safra, Ravam, who themselves, the Molach, who prepared the fish and salted the fish and cut up the food in order to prepare for Shabbos, because the HaKavod HaMiti, the real truth in Kavod, the real Kavod that we're going to give, is when one's doing mitzvahs Hashem. Let's return now to our question. We had a difficulty between the Gemara and Baba Basra in understanding how the Psukim could speak about Einei Leah Rakris, about Rachel's eyes and how she looked. Leah's eyes and how she looked. And we had, on the other hand, the Rashbam, who turns around and says, Ma'os, that were her eyes were beautiful. So says the Rashbam of Chakata as follows. The actual fact is not difficult to understand. Because what the Rashbam is saying, that Einei Leah Na'os, that her eyes were Na'os, to understand Rakos as beautiful, as nice eyes, he says that is exactly what the Gemara in Bava Basra is trying to mechadish and trying to tell us. Shebach, it's praiseworthy for her, because the real truth, the real beauty in the eye, is one doing a mitzvah. So for me, when I look at an individual and I look at their eyes, so to me the eyes may not look so nice, because my understanding of beauty is not a correct understanding of beauty. A correct understanding of beauty is to take a person, an individual, and say, not how you look physically in the way that we understand it in the 21st century here in gold screen, but how do we understand it? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu understand it? When we look at a person, we see that the person is tolerant, and we see the person is involved and totally working to do Hashem's mitzvahs, and maybe he doesn't look as refined as he should do. Not, it says the Rashbam. That is beauty. That is, in actual fact, Mahazal mitzvah. That's the most beautiful way of doing the mitzvah. So that which the Gemara and Bava Basra is telling us is only what the Rashbam is telling us in an actual physical sense. Not ois. There's a beauty about it. And he brings a tremendous, at least in my opinion, tremendous proof from the rest of the Gemara and Bava Basra. One needs to know the Gemara to understand the pasuk. Because a little bit later, the Pasha tells us, Vayah Hashem kisnu aleya. Vayah Hashem kisnu aleya. So, I don't know. Before I saw the Gemara, you always understood, snu aleya. What does that mean? That Yaakov wanted Rachel. Vayah, he loved her. Why? She was beautiful. He wanted her. He saw her deeds. And therefore, he wanted to marry her. What happens? Because Baruch recognizes and says, it's gefährlich, a terrible thing. Here we got Leah, she's been forced to marry Yaakov, no children. So you know what? By Yiftach et Rachel. So Rachel Akocha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives her the opportunity to have children, whereas Rachel remains Akocha, she remains Dara. That's the way I understand the pasuk. The Gemara says, this is Kenny Zion. Kenny Zion. What does it mean? The Torah is telling you, Snu and Leah? Is that the way to speak about Leah? And uses it as the same reasoning that is used about the Enea, about the Raya. It uses about this expression as well. Vayashem ki Snu Leah. My Snua, says the Gemara. What does Snua mean? Ilay Masnua Mamish. If you're going to say it's actual Snu, actual hatred, Epshu Bignus Behemoth Melo Diberakosu, Bignus Tadikin Diberakosu. Exactly the same expression. How can you talk about Leah in this way? Terrible. Can't be Masnua Mamish. Elo, says the Gemara, but rather, Ra Hakosh Boruchu saw. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? Vayar Hashem ki snu Leah. Not that Leah was hated, but he saw, because Baruch Hu saw that Maaseh Esav, that the deeds of Esav were hated to Leah, so she was so mehudah in this mitzvah that he gave her children. So, I think it's Rashi. He says a little later on. He says that what did Rachel Leah have that Rachel didn't have? So Rachel saw the matan tovim of Leah. Rachel saw the matan tovim of Leah. So that's what the kasha. What matan tovim did Leah have, which Rachel didn't? Yeah, she was also a fine individual. What matan did she have? So says the Rashi of Chakata, the matan that she had was his matan. These actions, this effort, this potential that she had in order to ensure that she wouldn't marry Esau, that his marriage was so contrary to what she believed in and what she wanted to live with, that she cried and told her eyelashes fell out, and therefore she had the cook, she had the look that she had. Therefore, when the Torah tells us, and I think it's a tremendous rhyme, the Gemara in this pasuk, I think well publicized amongst the school children as well. That this then is pshat, when the Torah speaks about the Eine Leah Rakos, that the eyes of Leah were Rakos. The Rashbam says it specifically Na'os, that they were beautiful. In actual fact, what the Baba Basra, what the Gemara is saying, is much, much more. And it is telling us that, yes, 100% Eine Leah Rakos is positive. It's not a negative. It's not that she looked so despicable and so ugly, and that Leah and that Rachel was the reverse. But rather, her whole essence was something of tremendous, tremendous beauty. The Eine Leah Rakos, therefore, is positive, and it's something that the negative. The concept that comes as it brings from the Gemara in Baba Basra, I think, is an important concept that sometimes that we do forget, and something which is a little, it's difficult. There's no question about it. You know, you ask you know, anybody, Yeshiva Bachar or otherwise, you know, who would you want to marry? You want to marry Eine Rakos, or you want to marry a fast Toyev, a fast Mahez? No question about it. But the Torah is identifying for us true Noah, true Rakos, that which is true and tremendous beauty, is that full understanding of being Meluchlof the Mitzvah Hashem, dirtying oneself, in inverted commas, involving oneself in Mitzvah Hashem. Yeah.